This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Monday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by your John Deere dealer, the Sloan Implement Company, by Farm Credit Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off in your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from last Friday's close. Corn for July was to 383 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. September corn was to 390 and a half, that gained 3 1/2. December corn was to 398 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. July soybeans were to 821 and 3/4, down 18. August soybeans were to 828 and a quarter, down 18 and a quarter. And September beans were to 834 and 3/4, down 17 and 3/4. Moving on to wheat for July, that was to 465, down 2 cents. September wheat was to 471 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. And December wheat was to 484 and a quarter, down 2 pennies. Moving on to soybean meal for July, that was to $294.30, down $7.60. August bean meal was to $296, down $7.40. And September bean meal was to $297.90, down $7.20. Finally, bean oil for July was down 50 cents to $27.22. August bean oil was to $27.35, down 49 cents. And September bean oil was to $27.48. down 48 cents. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's cash grain prices.
This is Friday's reported grain price and trend for per the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain prices are mixed on Friday afternoon. More moisture in the forecast is supporting corn values, but concern that corn acres are turning into soybean acres and a lack of demand have depressed soybean values. In northwest Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents higher, 338 to 365. Soybean bids were down 16 to 17 cents at 736 to 777. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 cents higher, 350 to 368. Soybean bids were down 17 to 18 cents at 754 to 785. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 4 to 5 higher at 344 to 378. Soybean bids were down 15 to 19 cents at 757 to 802. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 17 to 18 cents at 790 to 798. Basis changed up 1 at 3200 to 24 under the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 273.30 to 286.30, down $7.60 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2108 under the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher, 365 to 385, with basis steady at 1,800 to 1 over the July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce corn bids 5 cents higher, 365 to 369, with basis up 1 at 1,800 to 1,400 the July. Soybeans ended down 16 to 18 cents at 788 to 792. Basis was steadied up 2 at 3,400 to 30 under the July. New crop wheat prices are down 2 cents at 435 to 458. Basis is unchanged at 30 under to 7 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal obvious place. Their producer corn bid 7 cents higher, 394 to 395. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 15 cents. Quotations at 819 to 820. Soft wheat closed mixed at 495 to 498. Milo ended the day up 4 cents at 407 to 408. Contract bids producers for October-November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 340 to 368, soybeans at 761 to 792. And in the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 355 to 373, soybeans at 778 to 804. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 333 to 374, soybeans at 771 to 802, and June-July wheat at 439 to 483. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for June were to 111.27, up 80. August live cattle were to 108.92, up 97. and October live cattle were to 108.90, up a dollar. Feeder cattle for May were to 134.52, up 30. August feeders were to 145.50, up 217. And September feeders were to 146.70, up 247. Lean hogs for June were up to 92.37, up 15. July lean hogs were to $93 even, up 60. And August lean hogs were to $93.95, up 65 cents. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture one more time for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 10 cents higher, in a range of $72 to $85, with a weighted average carcass price of $81.18. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were steady, with good demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 50 to 54, 4 to 5 weighted 52 to 56, 5 to 6 weighted 55 to 62, and over 600 pounds, $58 to $64. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts, country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $52 to $58. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $17,960. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 115 to 117. And on a dress basis at 186 to 187. Choice heifers on live basis trade at 115 to 118. And on a dress basis at 186. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 226 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $85.27, which is 86 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses are $220.31, which is 75 cents higher, while select carcasses are $208.28, 40 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 117,000 compared to 118,000 last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 455,000 compared to 439,000 last week and 437,000 one year ago. A recap of the Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, May 16th had receipts of 120 compared to 2 weeks ago. Slaughter steers and heifers sold $6.50 to $7 lower. Slaughter steers choice at $117.50 to $119.75. Slaughter heifers choice at $113.50 to $118. Slaughter cows, breakers, average dressing at $53 to $57.50. Boners, average dressing at $49 to $55. And leans at $35. And slaughter bulls from $65 to $76. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. And in Ag News to begin this week off, Congress will try this week to finally pass a long-delayed disaster aid for the flood-ravaged Midwest and other regions damaged by hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, and drought. The third try could be the charm as the Senate tries its latest bid to break a political logjam and pass close to $20 billion in urgently needed disaster aid for Midwestern farmers and others. American Farm Bureau's R.J. Carney says the signs are very optimistic after the Senate Majority Leader called for a vote last week on a compromise bill.
What I'd anticipate to occur would be the Senate will offer a substitute amendment to the House-passed bill. And as long as, if there were to be a strong bipartisan vote in the Senate and the White House and the President give an indication that he will sign the bill into law, then there will be enormous pressure on the House to move forward with the Senate bill and the Senate version of the compromise.
Carney agrees political pressure is tremendous to pass disaster aid before the Memorial Day recess. The House has already passed legislation.
They've passed two bills, actually, with regards to disaster relief, and there's enormous pressure on the Senate to find a compromise bill that can pass both chambers of Congress, but then also that can get to the president's desk for his signature.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he doesn't want to send senators home without having voted, and for good reason. Carney explains.
We've been hearing from farmers and ranchers in all regions of the country that the time for action is now.
The latest House-passed bill adds $3 billion for flood and other storm losses of crops, dairy, and on-farm stored commodities, Army Corps flood mitigation projects, and block grants to rebuild homes, businesses, and public facilities. In other national news, the United States has reached a deal to lift the steel and aluminum tariffs imposed on imports from Canada and Mexico. A CNBC report says that removes a major obstacle to passing the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. The Canadian and American governments say the tariffs will end in a couple of days. Canada will remove tariffs it levied on American goods in retaliation for the steel and aluminum tariffs. The countries will also drop all pending litigation before the World Trade Organization. While the U.S. and Canada officially announced the deal, Mexico hadn't put out any kind of statement on mid-Friday afternoon. Trump mentioned the tariff removal during a speech to the National Association of American Realtors. I'm pleased to announce we've just reached an agreement with Canada and Mexico to sell products without the imposition of major tariffs, he said to the crowd. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says, now that we've had a full lift on these tariffs, we are going to work with the United States on timing for ratification of the USMCA. He's optimistic about moving the trade agreement forward in the weeks ahead. An agricultural economist from the University of Illinois says the next round of trade aid coming out of Washington could impact planting in 2019. Politico says if the USDA should happen to model this aid package after the $12 billion it rolled out last year, it would dramatically skew incentives for Midwestern farmers to plant soybeans this spring. Scott Irwin of the U of I says there are two reasons for this. The Market Facilitation Payment Program's payment rate for soybeans came in at $1.65 a bushel, the highest of any commodity. That compared to a payment of 1 cent per bushel for corn. The payments were tied to actual production in 2018. Irwin says that his guess is the USDA will try not to tie payments to actual production in order to not affect farmers' planting decisions. He notes that lawmakers have tried for decades to make farm policy more market-oriented. He says this round could be modeled after the old direct payment system that was in effect before the 2014 Farm Bill. Many Midwestern producers actually still have time to change their plans because of the historically wet spring around the region. Moving on to state ag news, ag and transportation groups continue to bring attention to the nation's aging lock and dam infrastructure. Plenty needs to be done, says Paul Rohde with the Waterways Council.
At least as far as industry priority goes, is getting into the upper Miss and the Illinois rivers. We're working under an operational condition where the administration is the only entity determining the haves and have-nots of lock and dam funding until Congress decides to get back in the game and say which projects receive funding. We've got to our hands full with an administration that just doesn't want to spend any money.
Rohde says the infrastructure was built during the Works Progress Administration days in 1939 with 19th century traffic in mind. And moving on to local ag news, this upcoming Saturday marks 1 year since a tragic fire destroyed almost all of the hog facilities at Borgic Farms in rural Roundtree Township near Raymond. This past Saturday, however, was a time for celebration for the Borgics, as they had an opportunity to hold an open house to say thank you to all those who came and helped on that tragic day and throughout the past year. I had a chance to catch up with Phil Borgic at the open house to talk about the tragic day, where the farm is today, and how the rise in pork prices has been an unforeseen blessing.
Here in this past year, how have things gone? How has the progress gone on rebuilding? I've been, and me and my family have been tremendously blessed with how things have went. It was a big task. The goal was to get back into production as quick as we can. And we're going to be very, very close by the one-year anniversary, which is Saturday. My family, way we show our appreciation to people is to feed them. And so we can't get around and tell everybody thank you. So today, then we're having a luncheon here at Raymond Casey Hall to just show that how grateful we are for all the sacrifices they made the day of the fire and all the hard work that's went in since then.
And we were talking a little bit before this interview about the number of fire departments that came to help you out on that day and how you said that fire was about at 4:30 in the morning. Well, if that would have been later in the afternoon, there may have not been as many volunteers to come out and help.
We had 13 local fire departments that responded that day, some with trucks and then some later in the day with personnel to relieve the firemen that either had to go to work or was exhausted by that time. And that system of the different fire departments working together, I know me as a longtime community member didn't really appreciate all that, how that can come together. We had our fire, but it could have been so much worse. Being early in the morning, we had a lot of firemen available that could come and fight the fire if it had been freezing or raining or, you know, just those different things that could have happened that day that didn't happen. I'm just blessed that it happened the day it did.
And now, I guess, looking forward here in the future, you've got your facility pretty well all back up and running. What are a few goals here for the future now that you're back running up again?
We've been building for 2 years. The goal is to maybe take some time off, not be building, not have quite so many things going on. But with the experience of the fire, we had an opportunity to redesign the farm. We have put in more fire breaks, more fireproof material. If it happens again, that maybe it wouldn't move through the facility quite as fast as what it did.
Two with rebuilding and expanding a little bit. How many head of hogs now could you have now?
Yeah, I don't think any farmer does anything they don't expand a little bit in the process. So we did go then, add another 1,000 sows as we rebuilt. And so the unit at Round Two Township then will have 10,000 sows. Producing a little over 5,000 baby pigs a week, and it's one of the most modern facilities in Illinois now.
And two, with the hog market being a little better, considering with global and national things going on, in a way that could also be a blessing too, that maybe any expense you had to incur can maybe come right back on the selling of the hogs.
Yes, we've had in the last 60 days from the 1st of March, we've had a tremendous turnaround in the price of hogs and long-term price of hogs on that. I told a gentleman right after the tornado hit Taylorville, I said I could be bankrupt or I could have all my debt paid off by the end of the year. And it looks like this stuff, maybe I'll have some of that debt paid off anyway.
Okay, Phil, and anything else you'd like to add today?
It's been a late spring. The farmer's going to put in some long hours, so the people run up and down the road watch for our big tractors and that don't move at the same speed and for the farmers to be safe.
And again, that was Phil Borgick with Borgick Farms near Raymond. And in a few events going on in the local area, the Litchfield FFA chapter will be holding a half-off plant sale tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5 at the greenhouse at the Litchfield High School. Again, the Litchfield FFA will be holding a half-off plant sale tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5 at the greenhouse at the Litchfield High School. And for this Monday morning, May 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.